no one runs on Wenciel Perez.
Who was more pumped, you or Dan Dickerson?
I was going bonkers in my truck listening to the first one, and I actually said these words to Jack. I'm like, that's a great throw. That's unbelievable. He played it off the wall. And I obviously, I didn't get a chance to see it, but Dan does a great job of painting the picture. And then moments later, the one that we just heard, it blew my mind. I had to go home and instantly watch it again.
John, I believe the phrase is, mess around with Wenciel Perez
and find out what happens. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mess around.
How do you like to be Chase Lee? Give up a couple hard hit balls and no damage done.
Hey, when you got a defense behind you like that, pitch however you want.
Tigers, first team in baseball to 50 wins. You sent me something the other day on Instagram.
I did, and it's the MLB does the power rankings every week. And I know we did it earlier. I guess it's been about a month now. And I always like to see it because the first picture that they show is they give you the top 10, but they give you the 6 through 10 in one graphic. And then you're forced to scroll. And we're obviously in the top 5, so I'm scrolling. I'm like, oh, okay, here's this team, the Dodgers, the Yankees. Where are the – oh, Tigers, still number 1. And I think the message I sent you, I don't even remember how I worded it, but it was basically – are we overreacting or are we too hard on this team? Because the national media, and if you listen to some of the stations down in Florida or out in California, and there's a lot of platitudes being put on the Detroit Tigers. There's a lot of great things being said about our team. Every team has flaws. And earlier in the week, we went through couple relievers. Like, we basically painted a picture that they need 6 players at the trade deadline to be able to win a World Series.
2 relievers, a bat, throw in a starting pitcher, new water guy.
Right. And yeah, we know we need a new groundskeeper. But it is interesting to take a step back and hear other fan bases talk about your team. Because we talk about the New York Yankees, and sometimes we paint this picture of the mighty New York Yankees. They can't be beat. Same with the Dodgers. Well, the Dodgers' starting pitching is terrible. And the Yankees just went through a 3-game stretch about a week ago where they couldn't score a run. They lost in extra innings 1-0 because they couldn't score a run. With that lineup, with Aaron Judge?
Okay, but in our defense... because I thought you made good points this week about real concerns in the bullpen.
Oh, well, thank you.
In our defense, I bet you them being shut out was discussed on New York sports radio.
I'm sure it was.
I would guarantee they brought up the fact that they were struggling to score. And we should bring up the things that concern us about our baseball team because the expectation is we're the number one team in the power rankings. Mm-hmm. We're fighting and chasing a World Series. So when in the month of June, we give you the stats, oh, our bullpen is 25th. In ERA and 28th in FIP, and there's no swing and miss. And that's a huge key to unlocking this opener strategy. It's a huge key to playoff baseball. John, I thought your point was great on, if you got Skubal, awesome, but most guys are only going through the order twice. And now in the 5th inning, I got to go super bullpen. Or 6th inning, I got to go super bullpen. We absolutely should be bringing it up. And I know they have 50 wins, and I know they're the first there, and they have the best record in all of baseball, but I don't think the listeners need us to pat them on the butt every time we bring up the bullpen, but couch it with you're a really good baseball team. I think that's why we're bringing up the bullpen,
yeah,
because they're a good baseball team.
It felt like after our discussion, though, and I saw that, I was a little surprised.
Okay.
I thought maybe after not playing great against Pittsburgh and then going down and losing the first two against Tampa, on a week-to-week basis, I wouldn't have been surprised to see them slip to 2 or even 3.
Just to create a little conversation.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, at this point of the season, if you're 1, 2, or 3, who really cares? We always want to be 1, and it's nice to see our team as number 1, but...
it doesn't do you any good if the power rankings say you're number 1. It's not like A.J. Hinch has got it up on a whiteboard in the clubhouse.
Yes.
Boys,
yes.
They moved the Mets ahead of us.
But it just still was interesting to see, even in losses... there are still things that other fan bases and other writers, other reputable baseball nerds think that this team is still really good and, in fact, still the best team in Major League Baseball.
They're not as invested as we are in it. We're living and dying every day with it, with a really good baseball team. And look, last night's a great example of what they're capable of. Skubal was not his best. They ambushed him with some first pitch homers. He gave up four runs, and yet the Tigers are sitting there in a position to get the win. Because it's Perez with the defense, it's Dingler going yard, it's Kerry Carpenter for the first time in 22 days leaving the yard. I hadn't realized it was that bad. Benetti let that note slip. I go, oh, okay, yeah, it's been a minute.
Hey, we're almost in July. Time's flying.
It is. But with Carp, I think that was such a... I don't want to break down individual at-bats, but he finally got ahead in the count. He wasn't swinging at everything. And 3-0, green light, mashers mash. Mm-hmm. They had Riley Green, who continues to put the team on his back in June, their worst month of the season. Riley Green is having his best month of the season. Like, there are all these really good things with this baseball team. Last night was another example of it. But don't feel guilty about bringing up flaws with this baseball team.
No, I just bring it up in regards to there are times because we do nitpick and we do as a fan base, not just here on the station or, you know, from 6 to 6 during the day. There are times where we are picking apart a team because we see all the flaws. We watch every pitch. We are invested at a time when a year ago we weren't invested in the Tigers.
Right. I mean, you look at a guy like Jack Flaherty. Like, do people hear when Jim props him up after four great starts in a row? But then he's got two bad ones again. So tomorrow morning, if he has another bad one tonight and we come on and we say something like, oh boy, Flaherty, there are concerns here. Well, that's three bad starts. Why isn't that justified in the moment?
Because they have the best record in baseball and you're not allowed to bring that up.
But that's you're being smarmy to me. And you're not being honest. You know it's fair to bring up.
No, I know, and we should. I think that's our job.
There is a debate within a great team. Is he a 2 or a 3?
Yeah, and I think at his best, during that four-game stretch especially, he was a 2. He shut down the best offense in baseball at the time, the Chicago Cubs, mm-hmm. in a pivotal swing game to take that series. I mean, since then, he hasn't even looked like a number 3.
I mean, I'll call out fans a little bit in terms of, do you really realize how good this team has been the last 124 games? Regular season?
You're saying going back to like last August?
This team is 81-43 in their last 124 games.
I mean, they're pacing for 100 wins right now.
Right. Triple digit.
Well, I mean, tonight is officially halfway, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So win or lose, they're pacing for 100 wins. Mm-hmm. Your question is, are we too hard on this team? I mean, I'm curious how people have viewed this baseball team this season. They have the best record. They haven't had a losing streak longer than 3 games all season. Do they deserve more love? Are they underappreciated? I'm just curious the prism through the fans' eyes.
Yeah, because I mean, even when we bring it up and we're talking about they need 2 bullpen arms to get from that 5th inning to the 8th inning, to get to Canley, to get to Vest. I think we get support from the callers and the fans that they agree. Like, the bullpen has not been what it was last year. How many people have gone, like, they're on the edge of the cliff and they are in midair because of a bullpen start?
We gave the numbers. The bullpen starts are considerably worse than they were a year ago. Last year, openers were like a 2 ERA. This year, a 4.5 ERA. And it's because of Holton.
Yeah.
I don't know if people realize this. Tyler Holton was 3rd on the team in WAR behind the 2 All-Stars, Skubal and Riley Green.
Yeah.
This year, especially in June, but this year, he's terrible. Holton, Hanafy, and Herder have all taken big steps back this season.
Triple H.
Yes.
We'll go WWF.
248-539-9797. So we are curious how you guys view the coverage of this baseball team, which is the first to 50 wins, and a couple broader conversations. Things on the horizon for this baseball team. We'll do that next.
3 o'clock. Great to have you. I don't know if we'll be here at 4 o'clock, as it looks like the world is ending outside. So if this is the last hour of radio we do, it's been a wonderful ride, and I love you all. The sky is black outside, and it is not a tinted window. Go over there and look.
Really? Because that's just a tinted window, so I always think that...
Well, it's mainly just so we don't have to look at Kenny.
Well, if this is the last hour, then you know what? The 4 major teams knew what they were doing.
But if we're here at 4 o'clock, I can't tell you how excited I am. It's going to be role-playing, not the way Kenny does it on Saturday nights. This is more wholesome. This is going to be... Kenny is playing Steve Yzerman. Because a player I mentioned yesterday is now being mentioned by hockey nerds. I'm going to rep the team.
How could that be?
Well, you know, blind squirrel finds a nut. So here's the deal.
Four o'clock.
We're going to consummate this deal. Oh, we're puck knowers. But you have Tarek Skubal news we can use. Present. Because I actually walk away from this feeling fine enough, and I'll explain why.
Yeah, Skubal was with Chris McCoskey. He talked to him down in Tampa, and basically, you know, they asked him about his future. And Skubal said, David, do we have the sound? All right. Listen, winning is where my focus is at. There's been some comments made that are not interesting. It's not for me, but I'm going to be focused about winning, and that's all that I can do. It has nothing to do with me not wanting to be here, he reiterates. I hope that's clear. But there is a business side of this game that is not as beautiful as the baseball side of this game. That's just what it is. That when I heard those comments, that was me at least saying, okay, this is Skubal saying, guys, it's not about me not wanting to be here. Because that was the biggest question. Do you want to be here? No, I want to be here. But when I heard this, this tells me I'm going to take this thing for the ride for the next 2 years, and then I'm hitting free agency. At that point, I'm going to see what's out there. At that point, I'm going to see how much money I can. And if the Tigers can match, I'd love to be here. But if they can't, it was a fun ride, Detroit, but you're going to see me don another cap in a couple of years.
So the simple way of doing this is best. Encouraged or discouraged? Now, I'm encouraged because, look, at least I know. It's all I wanted.
Right there.
I wanted him to say I wanted to be here.
Right there.
And we know it's about business. And look, here, I'll restate my claim. This is where you're caught in the middle of the Oreo cookie. The first part of the Oreo cookie is, this team's terrible. You're 9.5 games out of first. The trade Skubal shows in May and June and into July of last year. That's the first part of the cookie. You didn't trade him. Turned into a Disney movie. Hooray! All right, well, the back half of the cookie is signing him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you couldn't get that done. The only thing we had was a non-competitive offer, per reports, in the winter. Then it's been nothing. So the middle of the cookie is, we're going to pitch him this year. We're going to pitch him next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do everything in our power to win a World Series, because after that, he's going to be a New York Yankee. That's why I'm encouraged. That's really the positive. Tarek, you're going to love the Bronx.
So in other words, just eat the cookie, enjoy the cookie, and then move on.
Because ultimately, Rico, I want to live in reality. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to crush the organization for not going 10 at 4.25.
No.
This is a guy who has had Tommy John, who had flexor tendon surgery. I love Tarek Skubal, but let's be real. Can you guarantee me, even in an 8-year pact, that he will give you 4 more years?
No.
Not 5, 6, 7, 8. 4 more like he's given you last year and this year.
No.
No.
Mike, I told you. If it were me, I would have tried to sign him last year, because at least I would get him in his prime. And if I signed him for a ridiculous 8 to 10 year deal, at least I would get more good years out of him. But by the time you sign this deal, it'll be 2 years from now. It'll be this season and another season of his prime gone. Meaning you're going to get less than prime Skubal, but you're going to be on the hook for a lot of money with him. And I got a feeling it's going to be pitching Miggy where...
Oh, don't say that.
You're basically paying those last 3 years, and he'll be nothing like the player he was when you signed him.
So basically what the Dodgers have dealt with Kershaw.
Yeah.
And by the way, Skubal's giving you prime Kershaw right now.
I am encouraged by this, because if this doesn't smack 2-year window, I don't know what else does. If this doesn't put a sense of urgency under Scott Harris and the Tigers organization, I don't know what else, because he's saying there's a business side, which tells me they've tried. It's just the numbers aren't matching. So now he's willing to just focus, because when they say, I'm just going to focus on playing now, that means we're so far apart. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get frustrated. I just want to play baseball.
Can we unpack this together, people? What is your reaction to it? I don't think you can have no reaction. I mean, if you're discouraged because you desperately want him signed and you don't feel like it sounds like that'll happen, you have a right to that. For me, it's no, I'm not encouraged because I don't think they're signing him. It's that it's clarity. I like clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I like to know. And now it's why I, again, trade deadline coming up, go all in. Get a couple high leverage relievers. You might need a starter, by the way. I mean, I know we're not doing that show right now, but you might need a starter. I'm going to be fair. I got to let Alex Scott pitch.
Okay.
Because look, the Mize thing's been uneven since the original injury. Job is dead. Cobb is hurt. Olsen's hurt. Flaherty's been uneven. Look, might. But I'd love to know from you guys, encouraged or discouraged? And all smarm aside, it'll be my team who pays him probably, and then we'll have a terrible deal on our hands. I'm used to it. It's just fine. But my point is, I like knowing it's a two-year window. I like knowing, okay, we have Scooble. Let's go all in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It feels like, seems like to me,
that a tree is going to come crashing through the window like Final Destination and Kilkenny. It feels like it. Because
you don't know nothing about Final Destination.
I can't watch them. I've just seen the previews, and they're terrifying enough. But I feel like if you look through the window, I feel like Kenny's about to get impaled by a tree.
You see, Final Destination, where it skips over everybody and lands right there.
That's exactly right.
But no, to me, this says, yeah, you know what? We don't have to sit here and speculate. We know exactly where he is, and he's focusing on trying to win right now, and I think the Tigers need to do the same.
Yes.
Put your resources in this.
Encouraged, right?
I'm encouraged.
At least there won't be excuses for them.
It's a sad encouragement. It's once this trip is over, we're breaking up, but let's just enjoy the trip.
Kenny just blew away.
Okay. Thoughts and prayers.
I mean, all I'm watching is like massive pine trees behind Kenny, like breaking loose like Twister. And then there's Kenny charting Corsi.
Here comes the sheets of rain.
I'm speechless. 248-539-9797. I'd ask you to call, but maybe both hands on the wheel might be a better operation. David, what are the initial... Do you two see what's going on behind you?
I do now. Yeah, I sure do.
What just happened? All right, ticket text, please.
I am discouraged because I want him signed, and I think Boris is going to make him go to free agency.
Hold on, stop. Stop right there. Don't make Boris the bad guy. Tarek Skubal's a grown-ass man. If your agent works for you. If you tell him, I want to be in Detroit, do your effing job, or hit the bricks, you have that right. If he goes to free agency, it's because he wants to as well. Don't do this whole angel wing Scooble thing either. I have nothing against him, but you don't get to vilify the agent as if this is North Korea. And if you tell your agent no, you get thrown in the gulag. Rico just blew away. We've lost everybody. Whee!
Someone did text in, Kenny not catching only strays, he's catching trees.
That's it. Carlton. My God.
Aaron and Taylor says, trade Scooble ASAP. Do not settle for compensatory pick. Get as much as you can in a trade.
No.
Make sure you get a league-ready prospect.
See, I think the trade him was last year. That window's closed, so now he's yours for 2 years.
Middle of the cookie.
Do what you got to do, and then hope that maybe you can get something for him.
Here's the only way you could do it. And I'm not, okay. Can I, this is almost like when a big storm's coming in. This is a test of the, here is a PSA for everybody.
You know, nobody heard that. They're only going to hear this next
part. I'm not advocating this. Me, not advocating.
And turn on your radio now.
Got it. If you were going to have those conversations, they'll happen at the winter meetings after the season.
Mm-hmm.
There is no scenario.
Being the best record in baseball, you're not going to trade him.
Crazy talk.
If you were where you were last year.
Not crazy.
Absolutely.
Talk.
But every year that you wait, the return gets diminishing. You just got to ride this thing out. And
go all in.
Right there.
Encouraged or discouraged or just not listening at all. 248-539-9797. I swear to God, a few people make me talk about, hey, are you hot today? 248.
Not anymore.
My head will explode.
Not anymore. Just go outside. You'll cool off.
Have you ever dined and dashed? 248. Not doing it.
This
is what you're getting.
Well, I did have to wait a couple hours.
DGAF. Scooble comments
encourage, discourage, all feedback welcome. Kenny, you better tie. I feel like every time I look over, I just see Lieutenant Dan in the crow's nest. Is that all you got? I mean, the backdrop to Kenny screening calls is Armageddon.
I want to see it without the tinted window.
It's the apocalypse behind me is what's happening right here. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, you have. It's called The Last 9 Years of Wings Hockey.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of looked like that, hadn't
they
it?
They take a stray in all this.
All right. Okay.
Four o'clock.
4 o'clock. You're negotiating with me now. I can't wait. I have a quality offer for you. I don't know that you're ready.
Feels like it's going to be very painful. I know who I'm negotiating with. I'm negotiating with the devil. This is not good. This is not a good place to be in. I got the apocalypse over here, the devil over here.
That's all I'm trying to do. Okay, on the heels of the Scoobal thing, I just want to add one log to the fire, okay? So we've all accepted this idea. We got him this year, and really that's all that matters. But you can have him next year too. The all-in principle, meaning, yes, there are people on this station who believe they don't need to do stuff, but I think those people are clinically insane. Here's what I'm going to do. ESPN has their top 50 trade targets. They ranked them. Any target that Detroit's featured, I'm going to go around the room.
Okay.
But here's the key. You have to guess the likelihood the player's traded because this comes with percentages. So do you want the player? Then I inform you about whether they're really available. Fair?
Okay.
Number one with a bullet. It's Rico's dream. We're going to need a wet wipe in aisle four. Alex Bregman. Detroit is listed with the Yankees, Mets, and Cubs. Yes or no?
Yes.
Kenny? Yeah, that's a yes?
Yes.
David?
No.
No to you. 10% chance he's traded, so it probably won't matter. Oh, boy. Eugenio Suarez, who's having the season of a lifetime. Detroit on a list of basically 50 teams who need a third baseman.
Yes.
You're a yes. Kenny's a yes.
I'll say yes.
Yes, question mark?
Yes.
Yes, question mark.
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Okay, 50% chance. Also on. Okay. Yeah, but you can't have him. Yankees need him.
I was about to say, let me guess, Yankees.
No, I mean, look, we need a lot of stuff. Detroit also listed. Now, this is sneaky. Hear me out. Guy's a scumbag, but he can hit a baseball. You can do the Google. Marcell Ozuna. You know firsthand. Yes. Not a good guy.
I'm Ozuna from the Braves. You remember that video?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the right-handed bat. The dude can straight hit.
Yes. If you can overlook.
You can overlook being a piece. Kenny.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. 25% chance. What is going on with your Braves? Are they in? Are they out? What are we doing? Chris Sale's dead. Pack it in. Sell.
If they could play the Mets every game, they'd be okay. Because I don't think they've lost to them yet.
Let me give you a good one. Okay. This is a good one.
And I'm sure that makes you happy.
This is piping hot.
Okay.
Right, hot bread out of the oven. Felix Bautista. Closer for the Orioles, who don't need a closer because they blow. You're on the list.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes? Best part, too, Kenny, 2 years of control until he's a free agent.
Yes.
That fits the Scoobs window.
Yes.
David, Rico?
Yes.
They're saying 15% chance. I say overwhelm them. This is what we call the poopy prize. This is the equivalent of stepping in it. Ryan McMahon, third baseman, Rockies. Basically, last year, Javi Baez. That's what you're getting. Interested?
No.
No. No, we got this year's Javi Baez.
All-star. So we trade for McMahon now, and next year he blossoms.
Right.
Okay, Pete Fairbanks. Really good high-level reliever for Tampa Bay. Now, the question would be, is Tampa Bay in the business of selling when they're on fire, but they're dirt cheap, and they're homeless? They don't have a stadium.
They are homeless.
But you're on the list.
Yes.
You want Pete Fairbanks.
Yes.
That's a yes.
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 You need
Kenny,
an arm in the bullpen.
I'll never turn down a quality arm. Yes.
I'm with you, Kenny.
David?
Yeah, I'm on board now. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. 60% chance he goes. This is one I would absolutely love here. Also, a noted degenerate. You're going to have to overlook some stuff, including a terrible neck tat. Aroldis Chapman.
I was about to say Chapman. Yeah.
That's a yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
David?
Yes.
Does he fit the culture?
I don't know whose culture he fits, but you can do the Google. 35% chance, but you're talking about a lefty throwing 102, and Aroldis is having arguably his best season in the last five. That is a weapon out of the bullpen. Okay. Boy, some of these guys on this list. I'm just scrolling. Oh, here's another one. Tigers. This one will make you throw up all over yourself.
Okay.
Nolan Arenado. He's awful. Want him?
No.
Kenny?
That's the worst sales pitch ever. He's awful. You want him?
Right.
Yeah, that's called what the Red Wings do every offseason.
The throw up sound.
Yeah, that's the poo-poo platter. Yeah, no thanks.
That. He's terrible. Okay, that pretty much is where the Tiger targets are at. So I wanted to run through it real quick, just see where you guys were at with it.
So two of the targets, questionable.
Look, I think any bullpen arm is a yes for me.
Yes.
I want to give A.J. Hinch the tools to do what he does, a little bit more of the chaos. But Ozuna would be a yes for me.
Bregman, he would be a yes, but I don't know, because just when you think Atlanta's done.
Yeah, I know. Well, why don't you make up your effing mind and lose with dignity and sell? We haven't won a World Series in 40 years.
But, Mike, we keep beating the Mets, so you should be happy.
You know what kind of fish you are? Selfish. Sales dead. Just live with it. David Ticketek.
Pride.
Well, in my humble opinion, what's the difference between $40 million a year and $45 a year? That is such a ridiculous a lot of money. And once you get a certain point, you don't really need the extra money. Okay,
yeah, so but
he's
that's
upset
no.
with Scooble.
It's not that. Look, if Scooble would take a 4-year deal, I'd pay him $50 a year. In that sense, the money doesn't matter. But the players want term.
Yes.
Let me explain this like you're a second grader. It's simple. This is Scooble's last bite at the apple. Mm-hmm. He's already blown out two catastrophes for arm injuries. He's closer to 30 than not. This is it. He wants 8 to 10 years. That is my best guess at this thing. And if you saw what Max Fried got, and you think you're a hell of a lot better than Max Fried, well, what does that equate to? Yeah. So it doesn't matter that I would love to be like, here, I'll pay you 50 a year for four. They want the security. They want it. This is it.
And the $5 million is better in your pocket than somebody else's pocket. So that's the difference. I love up. Oh, it's not a big deal. Okay. Well, then you take the pay cut.
Chapman for sure, Ozuna for sure, both of them, yes, bring them here now.
Yeah, I think the market is going to be saturated with relievers, and I would trust Scott Harris and Fetter and this front office. They have identified bullpen arms at a really high rate, but I think you need two of them because a lot of the heroes last year have turned to zeros. Mm-hmm. It has.
No, it's almost like the American League caught up to pitching chaos.
Or it's almost like last year wasn't real. It was magic. Oh, I'm sorry. Bo Brisky's not going to throw 102 for eternity?
No.
Crazy. 248-539-9797.
Tigers looking to take the series today, 110 against the A's. We're hanging out at Shanty Creek where it's kind of gloomy. I think the weather's a little better in southeast Michigan. AJ, are you becoming a Doppler expert? I hope it's looking better down there.
You know, it looks good now. Yeah, you learn to read your own radar, and then you debate it with like five other people. You call the league. And my favorite is when there are people outside of the area that are telling you what the weather is. Because you're like, no, they're saying it's not raining. I'm like, no, it is. I'm standing here in the rain. Like, I can tell you because I'm on property. So this rain has been brutal, but it's part of it in the summer.
It is. And how do you handle it with the guys, with the players, especially the pitchers who are – they're amped up, they're ready to go. And we saw Scooble do it last week against the Pirates – where at some point, hey, you may actually have to start pitching in the rain. How do you prepare them mentally to attack that situation?
Yeah, it's hard because you make a judgment call around 6 o'clock for a 6:40, and before, because the guys usually need about 40 minutes in their routine and get their warm-ups in. You want to be fair to the other team. So there's a cutoff about 6 o'clock if you're going to start on time. Once you go into a delay, that's when the dilemmas start, and that's what happened with the Scooble start a couple times ago, and
you do have the league weighing in. You have both teams represented. You know, we're all weather experts, and you're trying to hit a mark where, like, hey, it's not going to rain, and if it circles back and rains during the warm-up, that's when it's the worst. So yesterday was a good example. We almost delayed it at 6 o'clock. It never rained, and, you know, but there were storms all around us. The lake always kind of tends to play some games with the weather pattern, and the key is to try to just communicate with our guys to make sure they know when the start time is. The minute you delay it, it's sort of a dilemma for the position players and the pitchers. Like, do they just hang out and kind of stop their pregame routine, or do they continue? That's the dilemma competitively.
Good time to have you on. I like how this lined up. 81 games in, midpoint of the regular season. The way you guys finished last year, how strong you guys have been this season, and people are wondering about World Series. I know you're a day-by-day guy, but how would you assess how you guys stack up at this midpoint? If you could try to zoom out for us, I know it's against your nature.
Yeah, I love the question that ends with it, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I am very, very proud of where we're at the midpoint of the season. It is funny to think of, but we feel like we've been playing forever, and we're just at the 82-game mark. So, I can do two things. I definitely can be proud of how we've built the foundation of this season and the things that we're doing. We're going to have a ton of things to get better over the course of the next, 81 games. But I think – you know, when you go day by day, series by series, when you stack up against, you know, we've seen the Cubs, I think it's probably the best National League team that we've faced. We've still got the Phillies on the docket and the Mets we're going to see. The Giants are pretty good. Like, you start looking at the series you've won, the series you've lost, there's a lot more that we've won than we've lost. So I think we're in a good position to have a very special summer. You know, we just have to do a lot of work to get there. And you know, we'll see what the teams look like, you know, down the stretch, who stays healthy, you know, how things change during the trade deadline. You know, there's just a lot of moving parts to be this, you know, predictor of the next 81 games. And there's too many variables, but we have a good team, and we have a winning team, and we have a team that I feel we can stack up against anybody. And that to me is a good start when you're trying to win big series.
First team to 50 wins. First team to 400 runs, run differential. Everything says that this team is operating at high efficiency. And then last night you have a game where there's only four hits. How do you get the guys to refocus, bounce back? What's the conversation to get the bats going on the day after where you only have four hits?
Yeah, you just play the game. I mean, we're going to have, like, plenty of losing streaks. I mean, I'm not like I don't want to be on the negative side, but even if we have like a remarkable season, we're going to lose a lot more games between now and the end of the season. So you can't get too reactive to one game. I mean, Jacob Lopez was deceptive. We couldn't really pick it up. We didn't barrel him up very well. You move on to the next day, and today's outcome has nothing to do with whether we had four hits or 14 hits. I mean, we bounced back to try to win the series, which was the goal, and get the guys ready. We don't have to refocus because we're always focused. Like, we're just always going to play the game that's in front of us, and it doesn't matter kind of what happened yesterday, good or bad. So we don't ride the roller coaster that I think a lot of fans have to, because they, you know, that we have to get ready for the next day. And anything, you either adding something to your preparation or you're taking something away. And we're just always going to choose to reset and get to the next game. Doesn't mean we don't care. Doesn't mean we don't address like bad mistakes or things that we do wrong. But we have nothing to do with last night, you know, rolling into today.
Wenciel Perez, let's just talk about him for a second, because and obviously in the media, we're always talking about, hey, right-handed bat, are they going to add something at the trade deadline? That's not where I want to go with this, but how impactful has Wenciel Perez been at the plate? But also, we saw the two assists that he had in the same inning. That was, gosh, it was so much fun to hear Dan Dickerson and then to see it, on the TV. How impactful has Wenciel Perez been on both sides for your team?
I'm glad you brought him up, because he is pretty understated and very underrated. You know, I think there's, if you look back now, like when we start looking at his time in the big leagues, number one, he's playing at a position that he never played until the upper levels of the minor leagues. He was always an infielder. We moved him to the outfield. he started, you know, kind of dabbling in center field. Then we moved him over to right field, and he's become more and more comfortable. And he looks like someone who has played outfield his whole life, which is great job of development by both our PD people and our outfield coaches here in the big leagues. The other part is, like, he hit in, like, the one hole last year, hit in the two hole, hit in the three hole. He hit kind of mid-range of the order. He's been an instrumental part of the lineup construction that I've put out there, because we really believe in the bat. We think he can move the ball forward. He puts the ball in play. He is a switch hitter who's predominantly been better left-handed. He's done some work on his right-handed swing, and we're seeing better production. So, you know, he's not the name that everybody recognizes, or he's not the guy that everybody thinks is a key cog, but having a switch hitter who I can move up and down the lineup, and I can play in any outfield position, and the production that comes with it has been needed during this time where we've watched Riley Green go up and down. We've seen Kerry Carpenter have a good stretch and a bad stretch. Because everybody does. And you need somebody else to pick up the pieces when other guys are scuffling, and Wenzel's been that guy for us, and is a huge part of how our lineup is tough to get through by the starter or the reliever.
Yeah, you mentioned a guy stepping up. I mean, Riley Green's put the team on his back in the month mm-hmm. of June, helping pick up for some other guys who maybe aren't contributing right now. Torkelson for the month of June. Is this just a normal slump, or are you seeing anything that has you concerned? What would you make of Tork's month of June?
Yeah, he's had a tough month. I mean, it's, you know, I've seen it with a couple guys that, you know, as they get, you know, they get, you know, beat up a little bit, or if they start seeing some offers, they start to expand the strike zone a little bit. Tork's been okay with his swing decisions and his at bats. You know, but he hasn't really put it together for, you know, those 8, 10, 12, 15 at bat series, you know, recently. But we're hoping that, you know, I gave him a day off in Tampa, end up giving him a day off coming back here, just trying to reset him and get him back into the flow of, like, just contribute against the guys that you can. So he's back in there today in the four hole. We believe in him. We know he's good. And you got to ride some of these, you know, peaks and valleys throughout the season. In a season where he's going to get 650 at bats or 600 at bats, these little 20, 30, 40, 50 at bat times are just part of the grind.
What are you seeing from or hearing about the rehab for Matt Vierling?
Vierling's been good. You know, he feels about as good as he's felt through this whole stretch. You know, he had a little bit of a scare when he came back the first time, and we got him checked out. Structurally, everything's fine. So we were able to do a little bit more strengthening and then get him out there. And then as soon as we got him in games, he got sick for about a 72-hour period. So we had to shut him down for the last few days, and then just got back in there. He'll be in there again. I think today, I think he's either playing or off, or tomorrow. One of the two, he's playing. We've got to make some decisions as we get to, you know, series by series. But health-wise, he's throwing the ball well, which is key. He's also someone who is feeling physically like he's close. So that we should get him back at some time in the near future. It's just a matter of series by series. And once he's checked off a few boxes to have the confidence to go out and just play and not guard himself. If he's got to make a throw from center or a throw from right or a throw from third, you know, we've got to test it maybe a little bit more until we're ready.
Reese Olson last night pitched. Do you feel like he's ready now for a call up?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him, but I haven't talked to him yet. I want to see him, and Fett's going to have him throw a bullpen in the next couple of days. But on paper, he's done everything that we wanted. We wanted him to incorporate his changeup at a high level. I think he threw 17 of 74 pitches were changeups. That's a little bit more like what his normal game is. You know, but we need to talk to him and see him throw a little bit. But we're anticipating that the next thing for him is to come back into our rotation. But confirming it's premature until, you know, the next 4 or 5 days.
Talking to Tiger manager A.J. Hinch, playing the A's today at 110. Series against a team that drafted you. You spent time in California. As an insightful guy that you are, do you have any thoughts just on what's gone on with them moving out of Oakland and now the journey they are on right now?
Yeah, I've had to separate two things. And I was just talking to Mark Kotze, their manager, and I came up together. We played together as amateurs, and I want to separate the two topics, one being Oakland which I'm incredibly bummed. I love Oakland. I loved playing there. There's a special fan base there. It's part of the history, certainly my history in the game. It sucks that there's not baseball in the Bay Area over on that side of the bridge. The other part is, like, Vegas will be cool. Like, Vegas will be interesting. They're going to build a state-of-the-art stadium. It's a new fan base. Like, you know, you see other teams that have gone there and the love of sports and the transitional, you know, kind of fan base. I mean, a ton of people come in and out of Vegas. It's going to be a very interesting place. So that's cool, while I'm still sad that Oakland doesn't have a team. So I think the A's are stuck. We're going to go to Sacramento. Ironically, I played in the first ever game in Sacramento when the AAA stadium was built in 2000, and that's a beautiful place as well. So I just wish that they hadn't had to leave Oakland, and maybe we could have expanded to Vegas, or you could get other you know, other ways to keep the A's in the Bay Area and create the buzz that's going on in Vegas the same.
Purely selfish question I want to end with. Any chance I get two CMU guys in the game today? I was there at Central when Dietrich Enns was pitching for the Chippewas. You got McKinstry playing today too?
We do. Yeah, we do have both. Yeah, just
here
for
we
you.
Go. Yes.
Yeah, just for you.
Thank
yeah,
you, AJ.
He'll be in there. No problem. I mean, you probably should have told me before I put the lineup out last night, but I, you know, generally speaking, you're not one to tell me who to play, so I mean, no. I'll do anything for you right now.
Well, hey, fire up chips, and AJ, we always appreciate checking in with you.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.
Yep. East Tiger manager AJ Hinch, it's 97.1.
Can we?
You know
please?
What, David?
Oh my
roll
goodness!
Roll that back again.
No,
what song
do
was
not.
That?
Do not. No, no, don't. Just move. Just move on.
One more time.
I'll explain later. Okay.
Back.
I don't
ahead,
care.
David.
Go ahead. I don't even care anymore.
Oh my god! Is somebody? Is that the kazoo playing "Eye of the Tiger"?
It's Andy Dirks playing a kazoo. These guys have been laughing their balls off for about 2 hours with this. Can we please focus?
And you know, by the way, Kenny and David, I want to tell you we do have a pilot TV show we want to film with Jeremy Otto, but I can't say it on the air. I explained a little bit to David. I think it could be a hit.
You were also telling him he was number one for half of the update, so there's that too. I was like, don't do that to poor Jeremy. He did nothing wrong.
And
here.
Then imagine on some shows we could do a guest star, Jeremy and J-Mo. That show would be fire.
Wow. That would be a nice, nice touch to the show.
The Jeremy. Show could be called Tapped In. All right, let's just please. Please. We want to start with something, and look, this is a Rico Beard exclusive. And yes, if you, I'm really hoping you didn't watch the NBA draft last night, you need to let losers like me do that. I have a What You Miss segment we're going to do later in the hour, but a Rico Beard exclusive. You very plainly just said, okay, it's the halfway mark with the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we take Javi Baez out of it,
right,
the intergalactic surprise, what is the, of the 50 surprises with this team, what is the one?
The one that just stuck out with you the most.
Yep. Now, I'm warning you. I have one, but I really would rather you and Kenny and David and the people go first.
Okay.
Because you might disqualify mine.
Okay. We'll see.
And I'm worried about it. Because it's heartfelt. But I feel like you'll be like, that's not good enough.
Brother, there are 51 games over the halfway point. Today's feel good. You just took a series from the A's, the homeless A's. So
poor bastards.
It's all good. But no, it's just one of those. Everybody's going to say, well, Javi's the biggest surprise.
That's why we're taking it off the board.
Javi's off the board, folks. So 248-539-9797. Biggest surprise for you in the first half of this Tiger season.
And it can be the record on surface if you want it. But I think what you're angling at, outside of trying to launch Jeremy Otto's television career, we'll get to that later. Individual player, individual stat, something about this team. See, mine is, I'm going to say this. Mine isn't any one individual player.
So I don't know if you'll disqualify.
No. Mike, it's anything. When you just take a series from the A's, anything is possible. It's Kevin Garnett.
Can't say that with a straight face. I know. Yes, Kenny.
I have mine if you would like it.
Yeah.
Mine is how bad the bullpen is. Nobody talks about it because of Fetter and pitching chaos and all this nonsense. But wait,
Kenny just came out with a bat.
Wait a minute. This is me saying this, so this is kind of an out-of-body experience. Did you seriously start the show negative?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And you know what? And that's fine. You beat the A's. Congratulations. Let's throw a parade. I'm not like... What do you want me to say?
No, but because it's about the first half and they're 20 games over 500.
No, it's great. And I love that, by the way. That's great. But also, it's what they should be doing. They're in the American League. They haven't faced a ton of great teams. They're not going to face a ton of great teams for a minute now.
Kenny just decided the water's warm. Cannonball.
I'm not trying to be overly negative. I know after a win, it's tough to be negative like that.
Okay, no. You're just surprised the bullpen hasn't been that good.
And it's based on what happened last year. You could kind of see how this year was going to go down. But I'll tell you this, pitching chaos can't be a sustainable, we say it every time, it's a miracle. Last year never happens and probably won't happen for another decade or two.
Well, it's
you
just
don't
funny.
See that every time.
Kenny, it's funny because I'm like, eventually I'm sure some people will get to something negative. I didn't realize it was a leadoff.
Man.
But, okay, Kenny, it's your opinion. It's validated. I asked the question. It can be good or bad.
In fairness to Kenny, we have talked trade deadline. I said, I need two high leverage relievers. Well, that would speak maybe to the pen not being as good as we thought. Okay, I'll allow it. Mine's positive. I'm just not ready to say it yet.
Mine is positive, too. There were three individuals that I was looking at, but I'm just going to choose one. I'm going to leave the other ones for the people out there. But
no Javi.
No Javi, but I will say this for Scott Harris, good pickup with Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
I like what I am seeing with him. He leads the team an on-base percentage. I mean, just a solid pickup. We said we wanted to see the Tigers make some moves. That was a move coming in, and I am liking what I am seeing. I mean, he hits the home run today, but aside from today, there's three individuals, but he's the one that I like what I see because I see consistency with him.
David, biggest non-Javi surprise. We are at the halfway mark, 81 games today. Your biggest non-Javi.
It would actually be Dylan Dingler.
That was another one.
When Jake Rogers went out, I'm not saying I was worried, but there was a reason why Dingler wasn't the everyday catcher. And I was a little bit, you know, in the back of my mind, like, how is this going to work out? It's worked out pretty well. Dylan Dingler should be the everyday catcher.
Do you realize, and I know this is a nerdy stat, forgive me, do you realize he is the best catcher in baseball at blocking baseballs?
No.
Nothing gets by him.
Huh.
He is, and I know it's nerdy.
Baseball got a staff for everything.
I know they do. I actually feel awful saying that, but I wanted to support David in that. It's something you don't see or think about or talk about, but the definition of the position is you're the backstop. Call a good game, pitch framing, but giving your pitchers the confidence that they can dirt one, that they can get extra aggressive with their off-speed stuff, and they know it's not going to go careening off your skull down the third baseline. Like, he's the best in baseball at that.
Is there a staff for glove snatching?
Yeah. Pitch framing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I feel so bad. David, I was trying to back you up, and now I feel like I...
No.
You're great.
David, he was also on my list, so I'm glad I didn't say him unless somebody else did. But no, I'm with you because he is your starting catcher now.
Yeah, and he's also done a great job at throwing people out at second when they're trying to steal. And I just bring people in. We've been watching the game with Jeff Rieger, and... You know, they tried to throw a guy out at second, and immediately the throw's bad. It wasn't a good throw, and immediately Jeff was like, yeah, that has to be Jake Rogers. Because we just know Dylan Dingler, he's going to be a rope every single time.
I mean, Rogers is just now known for that weird-looking mustache now.
Okay. Didn't have that on my bingo board. I will give you my biggest surprise for the Tigers, non-Javi, at the halfway mark. And I hope it doesn't get disqualified. But I'll let David, Kenny, and Rico judge. And if it is thrown out, I do have an auxiliary selection.
Bro, you just had the blocking percentage. You, And they just took a series from the A's.
Well, and we created a reality show for Jeremy Otto called The Misadventures of White Update Guy.
We did. He's from the streets. He went to U of D.
Right. We want to recreate the Chappelle skit where he drops the kid off in the hood. But we wanted to have like MTV Disaster Date where Rico's in the earpiece with Jeremy, like, it's time to leave. It's time to go. Like, it just.
What do you mean you want to let you hold $20? He's about to jack you. Just give him the 20 and run.
It's a scam. Run. Like, just. Jeremy
and
is.
Xbox for how much?
Right. Jeremy basically came and dressed as a 60-year-old white grandfather today. So we just were really getting creative.
Hi, diddly do.
Right. Ned Flanders. That's our update guy. All right. I will give you the biggest non-hobby surprise. Tigers take 2 of 3 from the A's. We'll do it next. I've got your draft needs covered. Rico's going to preview the Pistons pick tonight. I don't know if it's going to really make it move, but we're sure going to try. And he's going to preview 5 guys they might take in a second.
It's about effort, man. It's about effort.
Rico really worked hard. So let's respect him enough to give him 7 minutes to present. 97-1. All right, Tigers take the series from the A's. We're asking now, it is officially the halfway mark. Biggest non-hobby surprise for you as a fan at the halfway mark. Now, I'm going to offer this, David, Kenny, and Rico. Guys, don't hesitate. Shoot this down if you think it's garbage. My biggest surprise with this team is that there hasn't been one big hot streak. They just win every effing series. They're just robots. Like, it's a different version of August and September voodoo. They're doing a lot of the same things, but it's just professional in every way. And I understand they lost series to Tampa. They lost the series to the Red, but
no big, like, 8-9-game winning streak.
Like, the Twins won 13 in a row, and then they go 8-12 the next 20. All the Tigers have done is they've done their job seemingly every series. The reason that's my biggest non-hobby surprise is that is almost impossible to do in baseball, to just consistently take 2 out of every 3, like clockwork. And you feel like even if they go into a game like today, where last night was a little bit of a, they were flat last night. They didn't have good at bats. There wasn't really a fear they were ever going to lose today. They'll win the series. Why? Well, things. This is what they do. Does that qualify as the biggest surprise?
No, actually, Mike, it does. And I want to add to that the fact that I think, I can't speak for everybody on this show, but you kind of thought at some point on the flip side, man, they're just going to hit that drought where they're going to end up losing a bunch of games in a row.
Hasn't happened yet.
And they'll lose a game or you know, worst case is they split a series and go 2-2. And it's like, wow, okay.
I think that's the thing is, look, when you look at the data in June, a lot of the heroes of April and May have kind of cooled off, but they've produced a record at or above 500. No, it's not the incendiary pace they were on, but I just feel like they've morphed into something that is so hard to do in baseball. And it's June 26th.
They're a model of consistency.
Yeah.
They just get it. They just take series. So much so when they end up losing a series, it's shocking. Like,
think about this.
Wow.
Job dies. Cobb never pitches. Olsen gets hurt. Mize gets hurt and then isn't the same. Okay. Do you realize they've lost?
Flaherty's not great.
Right. They've lost 8 straight Saturdays.
No.
How? No clue. They've lost every Saturday.
Are you serious?
But does it throw them off what they're doing? No. Their pitching hasn't been healthy. The bullpen, albeit I'm saying it in a more graceful manner than Kenny, the bullpen hasn't been what we thought it could be or would be, still can be. And from a hitting perspective, look, it's a different hero every night. Mm-hmm. That's just what they are. Does that qualify as a surprise, or do you need me to be more specific?
No, it is a surprise because, I mean, the way you broke that down, because, yes, I think it was the flip side because I was expecting at some point during this run, it was like, okay, it's April, it's May. You know they're going to hit a skid where they're going
to – Right.
And they just haven't. They just go out there and they just keep taking series.
They've completed a half of baseball Whereas Bill Belichick would say, do your job. They just keep doing their job. They don't let one bad game become three. They don't let one bad series become two. And they just play. If that's not bold enough, I will produce something better. No. But it's the highest compliment I can pay the team is because, look, the Mets have hit a skid. The Yankees have hit a skid.
Everybody.
The Detroit Tigers, there's no skid. They just two of every. Now, there's no winning nine in a row.
Correct.
It's two of every three. Yeah. They're like a machine. Yeah. It's Spacely Sprockets. So I didn't have
that on the bingo board.
Meet George Jetson. Kenny, you'd have to Google it. It was a cartoon when I was a kid. All right. David, ticket text? I mean, what do we got?
I'll give you some text. Let me give you this first. You're right. They haven't. The last Saturday they won on was April 26th.
Okay. Look here, Rain Man.
Yes.
How do you know?
I'm not even insulted at this point. What?
I mean, I guess from here on out, I'm just going to take whoever to win the games on Saturday. I mean, I like the Tigers, but I also like money.
Okay. It's just, they're a machine. I don't know. Win every Friday, lose every Saturday, win on the Sabbath. Two or three, we're out of town.
Going down to the ballpark, Friday game or the Sunday game.
Winning.
Saturday,
yeah. David?
Surprise for me was Torque, remembering he knows how to hit a baseball. That is Tyler in South Lyon.
Yeah. Now, he had a good game today. He cooled off big time in June. But again, guys, Torque and Javi helped get the season off the ground. So whatever happens here on out, it is what it is.
It's going to be a new hero. But I get you. See, like for me, it was Gleyber Torres because Scott Harris saw a need. He identified it. He went out there and he got somebody that helped this team out. To me, coming up to the trade deadline, I feel encouraged because you know what? Do that again. Identify some talent.
It's funny you mentioned that. We had a caller who has since hung up. And the tenor of it is, why does anybody want to acquire anything? Okay, call a different show. Because it's an arms race. That's why. You can have the best team in baseball. It's an arms race.
It is.
Baseball playoffs are a coin flip. Arms race. You get more of more. Why? Because you can.
And your arms race for that caller is this. You get into the playoffs, you're in the eighth inning, and you have to have a pinch hitter come up, and you want somebody who you actually feel like can deliver and not somebody who you're holding your breath like, is this all we have?
David.
Andy Ibañez being sent down was a surprise to me. That is Ben in Wixom.
But let's be fair. Look at what's happened in his stead, if you will. And again, it's voodoo. But Jamai Jones is Ted Williams. But also, can we shout out Wensiel Perez, who improved on his weakness as a right-handed batter and casually hits 580. Look, there's an element of, this is the stuff that Scott Harris doesn't get enough credit for. This is about player development as much as anything. Some of it is voodoo, right? Like Bo Brisky didn't come back as Justin Verlander this year. You know, the herders of the world and all these other guys. Hey, last year was last year and the bullpen's been in flux a little bit, right? But with the hitting, look, man, how do you explain some of it? You got to give some credit to player development. And then there's just going to be an element of this where it's like, I have stopped trying to figure it out.
It's like trying to figure out Riley Green. You're great at all these numbers and you also strike out a ton. Right.
But again, as long as you're hitting right. for power right. and you're driving in runs, how you get out, I don't really care. But you're right, is that I will have to do research, as resident Rain Man apparently, I will do the research of, like, what are the best seasons players have put up with 200 strikeouts? He's on pace to strike out 200 times, right. but he's got an OPS of like 850.
Right. There's games where he just carries a team, and then when he doesn't, when he has that bad day, they're like, Riley, we got you. We're going to score some runs. Don't worry about it.
All right, David's telling us we're number one. We will get some of the calls, some of the ticket texts. Tigers take another series. I think that's the biggest surprise. They seemingly just take every series.
No, I like that.
No crazy streaks, good or bad. They're just consistent.
Right. I like the player acquisition and Gleyber Torres.
248-539-9797. It's 97.1.